What's going on, everybody? Ryan here. I've got a special bonus for you today in order to carry you over until this week's Top Rope Nation flagship drops, as usual, on Friday morning. So presented here today for you to enjoy in the meantime is a special 15-minute preview of this week's Top Rope Nation Extra Patreon exclusive bonus podcast. Now, the full show runs over 90 minutes. This is just a preview of what you can expect if you become a patron of the show. This broadcast features none other than Kyle Ross making his return to the air. That's right. For the first time since his trip across the pond over to the UK. And on the show, he is joined by none other than good friend of the pod, the host of Squared Circle Gazette Radio, the Wrestling Observer Newsletter award-winning author, Mr. Liam O'Rourke. Kyle and Liam discuss all of the fallout from last week's AEW Rampage and Battle of the Belts shows. They discuss the ratings. There's some stuff on the discourse in the wrestling media, as well as looking ahead to the booking for AEW Double or Nothing coming up at the end of May. A really good discussion I'm sure you would enjoy if you enjoy our typical flagship podcast. And like I said, the only way to hear this full show and 75 bonus podcasts that we have done exclusively for patrons is by joining the Patreon page. The link is here in the broadcast description. So enjoy this free 15-minute preview, and we'll be seeing you here, right here on the main feed on Friday morning for this week's Top Rope Nation flagship show. Enjoy.
Top Rope Nation Extra, baby, and I am Kyle Ross, back from vacation, and apparently I couldn't get enough of Europe, because joining me this week on the line is my good friend and yours, Mr. Liam O'Rourke. Liam, I apologize for the singing, but how the hell are you doing, buddy, other than that?
I'm doing great, but it wasn't so much the singing as the song. I mean, that's like, you know, I've got to listen to Bischoff's theme song when I come on it. Anyway, I'm doing real well. We just finished up a four-day bank holiday weekend here in England. I'm rested, I'm relaxed. Looking forward to talking some pro wrestling with you, Kyle. And before we do, I know that you were just talking about how you couldn't get enough of Europe. You need to talk to me about the Emerald Isle.
Yes, so a quick vacation overview. I promise this will be brief. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a wrestling podcast. You have not turned into, you know, Rick Steves Weekly here or anything like that. But my wife and I, as many of you know, traveled last week to both Dublin and Belfast. That is Ireland proper and Northern Ireland, for those keeping score at home. It was a really good time. It's great to get away. Always is. Feeling refreshed. Lots of drinking with the wife. That's what we do typically on vacation. We seem to get along better when that happens. But it was funny. On the fourth day, Liam, I was like, dude, I haven't drank 4 days in a row in a long time. I'm like, maybe we should take it easy today. And she goes, you know, with the kids, you know, we're not going to get this opportunity much. I was like, whoa, keep them coming. That was all I needed to hear. So yeah, it was a great time. And, you know, probably the closest I've ever been to you outside of the Citrus Bowl for WrestleMania 33, obviously still a different country, but your thoughts on Dublin and Belfast as a native European?
Yes, I'm more familiar with Dublin than Belfast, as people can probably guess from my name. I have Irish roots in Dublin. So, lots of nice castles and cathedrals in Dublin. Belfast, I'm not as familiar with, other than my expectation, as I said to you, that people greeted each other like Finlay did William Regal and Censored 96 with a nice punch to the face. But, you know, the Belfast, you know, I know that, you know, friends who've been to Belfast have the nicest things to say. I know that you went to a lot of the old pubs.
A couple
of quick questions. Did you do the Guinness tour at St. James's Gate?
Yes, absolutely. And we did
Fantastic.
And we did Jameson too. Same back, awesome. Basically. And we actually stopped at a great, alcohol's more like it for this audience, but we stopped at, what was the name of the distillery in between? Roe & Co. God, what an unbelievable little setup they had here. They had just a great drink menu. They had this kind of take on an old fashioned. The old fashioned's like my favorite drink. So yeah. They had this kind of new age take on it. It was great. it was a place that would not have been out of place in Ohio City, which, you know, for this audience, basically five people know what the hell I'm talking about. But those five people, I'm sure their ears perked up with that one. So, yeah, it was a great time. Great to get away. Of course, I came back and had a ton of wrestling to catch up on. So I was doing speed viewing here on AEW over the last couple days, and that's what we're going to talk about. By the way, I don't know if this is appropriate or not, blow by blow, a couple days old, but hot off the press, Liam, as we pressed record, the ratings came in for the Battle of the Belts special on Saturday night, and according to Brandon Thurston on Twitter.com, the show did 527,000 viewers. That was 240,000 in persons 18 to 49. It was number 10 on cable originals for Saturday night, the NBA playoffs dominating Saturday night viewing overall. What do you make of that rating? It was down from 704,000 for the first one. And not just the rating, but the way AEW has approached Battle of the Belts overall in terms of promotion and card construction.
I think we're going to be on the same page here. And I want to obviously, since you mentioned this in the notes, I want to give you the chance to kind of extrapolate on that a little bit in terms of what they have and haven't put on these shows, because that's kind of noteworthy in itself, I think. You know, when Rampage began, for example, and Tony Khan was insistent that it was going to be an A show, you know, at least he loaded it up with like Kenny Omega versus Christian straight away and the CM Punk debut out of the gate. And nature takes its course, and obviously that's very much become the B show due to the time slot and everything, and the cards have kind of reflected it over time. And it does feel like it's noteworthy that there hasn't even been a big effort for Battle of the Belts to make it really seem like it's above the norm.
No, and what's really curious is that both times they've had these quote-unquote quarterly specials, Adam Page has had a world title defense on free TV that week, but not on the quarterly special.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're kind of wondering, is this a quarterly special, or are they just treating it like an extra hour of television?
That's exactly how I perceive it. I think that once this became a one-hour show, I think that Tony Khan has kind of cast it as being something other than what it was probably conceived to be, but that deserves kind of, you know, a little bit of discussion as well. Because obviously the idea when people hear about this idea is to compare it to like a Clash of the Champions, right? And a lot of people think that this could be like the Clash. But the Clash died as a concept because Nitro was like having a Clash every week anyway. And so the need for the Clash kind of dissipated. You know, Saturday Night's Main Event, when they brought that back, that died too for the same reason. TV's changed. These concepts that organically died did so for a reason. And I'm not so sure that, you know, when you got like 2 hours of like, you know, really like prime stuff that you're throwing out there, and then Rampage as well, I don't think the extra hour is going to have this kind of abnormal appeal. It's going to feel like, as I think it has done, which is just one extra hour of television. And it's, you know, it's good and it's enjoyable and everything like that, but it's not going to reap huge rewards or draw an abnormally big number, I don't think.
Yeah, and looking ahead to the next quarter, the third one, based on what we've gotten on the first two, unless if they put a big match on that next Battle of the Belts, you got that thing might die in the ratings. And Saturday night, we know it's not good. I have a question for you, and this came to me just before we came on the air. They're treating it like an extra hour of TV per week, not a quarterly special. Mm-hmm. Would it be better served then if they just every quarter had a 3-hour Dynamite?
Yes, is the answer, I think. I absolutely agree. I think that's kind of, I felt like that was where things were going to go anyway during the pandemic year. Like, because even then, winter is coming with Omega and Mox, I thought was kind of a natural point to do that, because that's when they, you know, maybe once before that, but they started doing these specials like the Blood and Guts show, like Winter is Coming, and those are the ones that we can all, you know, recall off the top of our heads, where it felt like they loaded these shows up and just doing that thing. You know, they do 4 pay-per-views a year. Having that one show every 6 weeks or so to break things up and say, this is an abnormally big episode of Dynamite, I think that you reap the rewards there anyway, because you have a natural point to build towards. It's not something that's kind of off the piste, which Battle of the Belts is, because it's not part of the regular format. And I, you know, there's there are some issues, and we're going to come to this. And you know, this will kind of bleed into the Rampage number that I think we're probably going to mention as well in a second.
Yep.
In terms of there just being so much information to relay to the audience, that I think a show like this, like an extra hour, it just kind of gets lost sometimes to me, where there's just so much stuff they're trying to hit, you know, and there's so much information they're trying to relay, when Excalibur gets his voice going as fast as he possibly can to relay all the matches for this week, next week, next show. And then you throw in there, by the way, special start time, 7 p.m., you know, that becomes white noise after a while. And I think that's kind of something they're suffering from a little bit here, too, is they're being very ambitious with what they're trying to pull off.
Yeah, 3 nights a week to ask of your audience is a lot. I know that, you know, Raw moving to 3 hours permanently, no one really likes that except Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn and the brain trust there, because it makes them money, even though it hurts the quality of the show. But I think 1 3-hour Dynamite per quarter would work. The other thing, too, Battle of Belts is a taped show. Now, historically, there's always been discussion of, you know, live versus taped. Is there any real decline in the numbers? Interestingly, 2 weeks ago on Rampage, we saw a very high number, which probably was owed to word of mouth for John Moxley, Wheeler, Yuta.
Yeah, I'd say okay.
So to me, unless if you're going to do something blow away on a taped show where, you know, people say, oh my God, I got to watch this. Oh, I heard, you know, how good it is. You're asking for trouble. So, and this Rampage rating, Liam, it did 482,000 total, 288,000 in 18 to 49, predictably down from last week's 6 months high, the show with the Mox Yuta bloodbath. With Rampage being live this week, however, at featuring a world title match, which we'll talk about in a little bit, Paige and Cole, is that number disappointing to you?
So this is interesting. I can't say disappointing because I had no expectation. But again, because of the time slot change, this has become a frequent issue with Rampage of late, with the basketball picking up, obviously. On paper, obviously, you want a higher number. That's pretty low for a world title match. But there's these extenuating circumstances that kind of, you know, you look back, like historically speaking, to like the glory periods, and like there are some good numbers that, you know, these shows pull out when they're out of time slot. But then there's also some ones that do pretty damn bad, and this doesn't help. You know, like I said before, the preponderance of, you know, there's this coming up, special start time. If you're not really glued and tuned into that, it's not like, I mean, they throw it out there on the commentary, they put the graphic up, they do what they can. But it just feels like there's so much information they're trying to relay, that things like that. And that is where this gets victimized a little bit. I do think that people would have been interested in this if it was on in the normal time slot. I think it would have done pretty well. I think it would have done numbers comparable to last week, if not maybe a little better. But it was what it was. And Friday night at 7 o'clock, when again, the West Coast, it's airing at 4. Like, that's not going to help. But because of things like that, you know, the West Coast aspect too, I didn't really have an expectation. What about you?
I did not think it was going to do well, which sounds odd because they put a world title match on here. But here's the thing. We talked about perhaps the half-assed promotion Battle of the Belts got.
Yeah.
Did Paige and Cole get a great build for this rematch in your estimation? I don't know if it did. And we're going to talk a lot about Paige here in a little bit, and I don't know if it's intentional or not, but his run has never felt like the centerpiece of the promotion since that first night on Dynamite where he was confronted by Bryan Danielson.
Agreed, and that is a part of this. The aspect that, you know, your world champion feels like he's as important as about 15, 20 other people. You know, they cycle what goes on in different time slots on the show. It's not like you see, you know, the main event, you know, the world title thing, that's going to be the thing that's on last, or it's always on first or whatever. It's that the layout of the TV, while it makes for a very exciting show and it does work in a lot of ways, one of the drawbacks is that if your world champion is getting as much focus as anybody else, kind of hard to make it seem special and above the norm. I think that the build for the rematch did feel, with the exception of when Hangman Page got right in Adam Cole's face, which was tremendous. I think, you know, the whole thing about the belts stealing and then getting the belts back, that was like a 1 week thing that didn't even need to happen. Like, I think, yeah, it was pointless. It was just something to, like, it's one of those things where it's like it's content for a week, but we're not really building to anything. It's just we know we're going to do this rematch. We've got to do something to kind of keep things ticking over. I don't think it really resonated because it didn't really have time to. So that's kind of my feeling on this, is that I think a lot of people kind of got the feeling. I was actually kind of surprised to see some people thinking Adam Cole was going to win this.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that up because I thought in my mind that sort of hurt the build, because I'm like, there's no way Adam Cole's going to win this. But on Twitter, I saw multiple people, reputable people. I'm not talking about some of these schmucks, some of these bad faith people. Okay, I'm talking about reputable people speculating about Adam Cole. If Adam Cole wins, then you do Cole versus Punk, and Cole's a transition champion.